Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to see you on this bright and sunshiny day today. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm an all-star Christian. I came in the rain. I'm an all-star. Tell them. Hey, if you're joining us online, we miss you here. Welcome you back anytime, but thanks for joining us online. Hey, a couple things coming up. There's something very unique. Tomorrow, we have an opportunity. We have one of our missionary families that's had to come off the field because the father and husband has come down with cancer. They moved back to Auburn. The wife and a team went back to Africa to kind of close up the house and shop, and they're arriving tomorrow in San Francisco Airport at 12:30 lunchtime, and they just need a ride home from the airport. There's four of them and a bunch of luggage. We have our church van that will hold them all. If you have time tomorrow and you want to drive to San Francisco and pick them up and bring them home, I just hate for them to be standing out on the freeway with their luggage, you know. It doesn't look good on our church, you know. We probably should give them a ride home. So if you want to do that, call the office tomorrow and let them know that you're free and available to do that. That'd be a super help. Hey, graduations this week. Anybody graduate from anything? Raise your hand real high. Anybody? There you go. Let's give them a hand. Very good. Graduations. Do we have any teachers or educators or administrators in the house this morning that are exhausted and are so glad graduations are taking place? Raise your hand if you're part of the school system in any way. Anybody here? A couple of you. Thank you so much for your work this year. As mentioned in the announcement video, we had our preschool graduation, and you know, we've been getting a lot of requests to expand our educational arm as a church. And so the leadership team, the elders, have set forward the idea of moving things broader and further. And so this is what we're doing starting the first week of September. We have three classes of preschool and pre-K. We're going to continue those next year. And a couple of the teachers are moving on, so we need some help in that area as well. Their enrollment is now open for that. It's 2 days a week or 3 days a week for a half a day, 9 to noon, preschool and pre-K. We've been doing that for a long time. But we're going to expand this year into kindergarten. And so we're offering up to three classes of kindergarten, again, 3 days a week, half a day. And those applications for your students or grandkids is out in the courtyard now. We're looking to recruit a team to lead that, some teachers, assistants, and director. And so we're going to be moving into kindergarten this year. And then thirdly, we're also going to be moving into early elementary. And again, it's not a full-fledged all-day, all-week school. It's going to be kind of a supplement to what homeschool families are needing. And so again, it's going to be first, second, and third grade, 3 days a week, half a day, to teach them reading, writing, and arithmetic. Again, those applications are now available online or outside in the courtyard today. And we're also recruiting the team to help pull that off. The last thing that we're adding this year is what we're calling an enrichment day. Students go to class for 3 days, and on the fourth day, students can come for a half a day or a little bit longer and have electives. And so we're going to be doing morning electives 1 day a week as well. And so, again, those applications are available. We're recruiting the team now to put that together to start the first week of September. So I'm excited. It's a lot of work that we got to do, but we think there's a need. We think that the Lord is leading our church to expand its arm. Again, it's not a traditional school. It's not a five-day a week, all-day school. It's a half-day. The positions that we're offering for leadership are all between 15 and 20 hours. And so it's not full-time work for people, but it's a great way to take us to the next level. And so I want to encourage you to consider that if we can be of help to you in your family's educational process. All right, let's grab our Bibles, and we're going to go to the book of Matthew, the first book in the second part of your Bible called the New Testament. The first book in that section is the book of Matthew, written by Matthew, and we're in the seventh chapter. We're starting a summer-long series this morning called Rock Solid. Rock Solid. And what I hope to accomplish in this summer series is that we could revisit some truths of God's Word about how to have a strong foundation in our life. That our foundation, in which we build our house upon, would be rock solid. There's a lot of things going on in our culture. We've come out of a lot of stuff over the last couple of years. And it's just going to be really good to step back and kind of assess our family and our personal foundation and to see if there's any cracks or if there's anything that we need to repair or if there's anything that we need to add. And so we're calling this series Rock Solid. And it comes out of Matthew chapter 7. Jesus is wrapping up the longest sermon that we have recorded in the Bible. He's talked about a lot of good topics, but as he comes to the end, he gives a parable as a way to instruct us. This is what it says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. It says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the what? The rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. Yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock." Conversely, verse 26, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the what? The sand. The rains fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house and it fell and great was its fall." I want us to spend this summer talking about how to have a rock solid foundation to build your life upon, your family's life upon, your job life, your business upon, your morals and ethics upon, so that as we learn what God would have us be and do, we can handle the storms of life. We can handle the storms of life. How many of you remember the Loma Prieta earthquake in 1989? Anybody remember that? Maybe you're too young to remember, but in the Bay Area, there was a huge earthquake on October 17th, 1989 at 5:04 p.m., and literally freeways collapsed on top of each other. It was at 5:04 p.m., and the scary part was the initial belief that it was rush hour, and there would be hundreds and hundreds of cars that the freeway collapsed upon. And as they began to repair this and to take it apart and to look at it, they began to realize that something called liquefaction took place. Liquefaction is where the solid soil bed becomes saturated, and then when an earthquake happens, it shifts it, and the solid subsoil becomes like slurry, and the foundation of the freeway gave way. And it shifted, and it shook, and it collapsed on each other. Luckily, even though tragically, only 63 people lost their lives, and billions of dollars later, trying to rebuild. A terrible day, all because a foundation that was assumed to be secure, in the end, when just the right conditions hit it, was found to not be secure. And it turned from solid subsoil to slurry because an earthquake hit it. Its foundation turned out was not all rock solid. And the question that I want us to ask this summer is simple. Can your foundation weather the life you are building? We all are building our lives. We're building our personal lives. We're building our family lives. And the question that I have to ask myself is my foundation or can my foundation weather the life that I'm building? Or maybe there's some cracks. Or maybe I'm building on the wrong foundation. And so I want us to take this summer and I want us to go through some of the truths and some of the principles and some of the morals of the Bible when it comes to how do we build our house. And I just want us to reassess them because most likely if your life is like my life, we've been through a lot of stuff these last couple of years that have tested the foundation of our life, haven't we? Tested our courage, tested our strength, tested our faith. And so let's take some time now that it seems like we're coming out of that season to just reassess our foundation. Maybe there are some cracks that we have seen come to light. Perhaps there's some patching we need to do. Perhaps there's a whole new foundation that needs to be laid in areas of our life. And I want us to look in the Bible and see what are the foundational truths for family, for marriage, for my personal life of strength and faith, for ethics, for business, for community and culture? How can I build a house on a foundation that can weather the kind of life God is calling me to build? One of our key verses is going to be Psalm 127, verse 1, that simply says this: unless the who? Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. The Lord wants to help us build the house. In fact, the Lord wants to build your house. And if we try any other person, it's going to be vain. Well, as we think about what's the Lord's job in building our house, we realize the Lord's job is to reveal foundational truth. You know, I'm so glad we have a God that isn't distant and uncaring. I'm so glad we have a God that over the course of thousands of years and dozens of authors has revealed to us his plan and his blueprint for building a house with a solid foundation. Aren't you glad God didn't leave that up to us to try and discover? He has given us hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of morals, truths, and principles that are foundational truths in which we can build our house on. Why? Because God made our world. God wired us as people. He knows how to build a life on a solid foundation. And I'm so grateful that he revealed how to do that, that he really can build our house, our life. In the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11 says this: for no man can lay a foundation of the gospel other than that which is laid, which is who? Jesus Christ. So we know that that foundational truth is not just words in a book, but it's actually a person. That I surrender to a person and his truth to be the foundation of my life and of what I'm trying to build. Now, let's go back to our parable this morning that Jesus gives to us. And let's examine it a little bit more closely. Matthew chapter 7, here it is. Let's walk through these four verses. Look what he says there. Jesus says, therefore, who? Everyone. Now, that word everyone means he's talking to the whole group. We know the context of the story. Jesus is talking to a big crowd. But this word everywhere means that he's not only talking to everyone, he's talking to each one. So as he's saying these things, he's looking people right in the eye. Turn to your neighbor and look him in the eye and say, he's talking to you. Jesus is talking to you. So this is not just some general platitudes. When Jesus uses the word everyone, he literally means every individual in the audience. So watch this. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, and it's an interesting word, hears, because, you know, sometimes we say we're listening, and are we really listening? Husbands do this all the time. Yeah, babe, I'm listening to you. In other words, I hear your words. But this word hear means to comprehend. It's not just the act of listening. It's actually the act of understanding. I'm hearing Jesus' words to the point that I understand them. I comprehend them. So look at what he says. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and what? Acts on them. They practice them. They take them home and they become their guide. They model the principles of the words that they heard and they use them in obedience in their life. They don't just take the platitudes, they don't just take the principles and listen to an amazing teaching of Jesus and then close their Bibles and go home and live their lives as if nothing has changed. In fact, if you go to verse 28 here, go to verse 28 really quick, and it says, and when Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were what? They were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority, not as their scribes. He wasn't teaching and sounding just like another religious leader of their day. Why? Because he wanted them to put them into action. Maybe we compare it to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now watch what happens. It says, and the rain fell. Now that scenario, that picture of rain falling isn't like the gentle rain you had this morning as you drove to church. The idea in this phrase is a torrential downpour. You know how like you're driving down the freeway and your windshield wipers are going crazy and you still can't see but a few feet in front of you and you're worried you're going to hit the car in front of you? That's the kind of rain that's falling in this parable. It says, and the floods came, the flash flood. There was so much water, the ravines were full and everything in the ravines were washed away. And it says, and the winds blew. These are winds that are making the shutters of the house go crazy. These are winds that when the water hits the pane glass on your window, you're wondering if the window's going to crack. There's so much wind. There's so much rain. And it says it slammed against that house. So these are the descriptive terms of a hurricane situation. And look what it says. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the what? The rock. What's the rock? The rock is acting on them. That's the rock. The rock isn't Jesus in this parable. The rock is acting upon what we know. Interesting. So conversely, in verse 26, Jesus, again, everyone who hears these words of mine. So you notice, it's everyone who hears to the point of understanding and comprehending, who hears these words of mine, but does what? Not act on them. He's like the foolish man who has built his house on the what? The sand. And then you'll notice the exact same hurricane comes, the exact same storm description, the exact same four phrases, rains fell, floods came, winds blew, slammed against the house. So both homes experienced the exact same storm. But here's the difference. This one what? Fell. And great was its fall. In other words, it didn't just tilt or slide. It collapsed flat, and it was completely destroyed. The exact same storm conditions. So Jesus is giving a very vital wrap-up to the longest message he spoke that's recorded in your Bible. And he simply is saying this. The difference between a rock and a sand as a foundation is doing and practicing and acting on what you know to be true of God's foundation. And so this summer, I would like for us just to review some of those foundational morals, truths, and principles so that we can make sure that however we're building our life in your unique location and situation, it's being built on the truths of God's word and then the strong encouragement not to just learn these principles and then close our books on Sunday and say, wow, those are wonderful truths, and then go home and not put them into practice. Because the difference between the sand and the rock in this parable are those that put them into practice. This morning, let's look at a couple constructive thoughts, some constructive blueprints. I want you to notice in this parable that neither home was immune to the hurricanes of life. Sometimes there's a little bit of a misconception among us as followers of Jesus that if we just really love Jesus and we really do our best, that our life will become immune to the hurricanes of life. That God's going to protect me from everything. God's going to spare me from any storm. And I want you to know that in this parable that Jesus gives as a wrap-up to the Sermon on the Mount, both homes experienced the storm. So neither house was immune to the hurricanes of life. You and I are going to walk through the hurricanes of life. Let me ask you a question. In your life, in your home, in your marriage, in your relationships, have the last 2 years been kind of a hurricane? In our culture, has the last 2 years been kind of a hurricane? And if I'm not careful, my foundation will prove to be something that's unstable, and my life can be in danger. Thought number two, hurricanes severely test the quality of your spiritual foundation. When you became a follower of Jesus and you surrendered your life to him and you thanked him for his grace and for his forgiveness and for his gift of eternal life to be with him in heaven forever, did we also not give him all the days in which we live out our life here? Did we not also say, Lord, whatever agenda I had for my life, I want to give to you. I want to live out your agenda. Did we not say, Lord, however you want me to build my life, I'm willing to set my own understandings aside, and I want you to build your life according to the way that you want my life built. We surrendered him. And part of that, and we don't like this, but part of that is giving Jesus permission to test the quality of our foundation. Ouch. When we surrendered to Jesus, did we not give him permission to at times test the quality of our faith? And if we look in the scriptures and we look at all the people that were followers of God, it is not uncommon for God to allow or send a circumstance specifically to test the quality of their faith. In fact, we're told in the New Testament that the testing of our faith happens in all of our lives. Sometimes God allows a storm, not because I've been disobedient, not because he's angry at me, not because he's punishing me, but he's sending and allowing a storm in my life to test the quality of my foundation so that hopefully I will see the cracks, I will learn truths that help in that area, and then I'll put those truths into practice. So I will come out stronger in the end. But we have given him permission to test the quality of our foundation. And sometimes, according to the patterns we can see in the Bible, he does exactly that. Let me ask you a question. Has God allowed a hurricane in your life these last couple of years that has tested some part of the foundation of your life? The answer is absolutely in my life, yes. You know what our church has been through the pandemic? The sorrow that our extended family has gone through because of a series of deaths has definitely tested the rock-solid foundation that I thought I had. Next thing I notice in this parable, and maybe you notice it too, is that both homeowners clearly understood foundational truth. In both scenarios, they heard these words of mine. And they heard them to the point of comprehension and understanding. So it's not necessarily that I need to learn more foundational truths. Perhaps what I need in my life is to just learn how to put the truths that I already understand into practice. And maybe a new and fresh way. In fact, the only difference that's noted in this parable between the two homeowners is that one homeowner, what? Practiced the truths. He put them into action. Earlier, we talked about God's part in building a home, and we realized God's job is to reveal foundational truth. It's our job to put those truths into action. The foundational truths about parenting, the foundational truths about marriage and family, the foundational truths about the world, foundational truths about business and ethics and morals. We need to understand what these truths are, and then we need to put them into practice. As I was thinking about this, I wrote this down. Everyone gets cracks in their foundation. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got a lot of cracks in your foundation. I see them. The problem that we have is not that there's cracks in our foundation. The problem comes when we don't repair them. And we repair them, according to the parable, by practicing some new truths or additional truths. You know, it's interesting, a couple of things that I've noticed over the years, and maybe you've noticed them too. When Pastor Jim Galbraith was coming to the end of his days, he's a pastor that was in town. He came to our church while he passed away in 2011. And he was having surgery to remove cancer from his jaw. And they told him they were going to take the cancer out and they're going to remove his jawbone and they were going to take a bone from his hip and they were going to replace his jawbone, but he was going to have a concave side of his face. And when he came out of the surgery, praise the Lord, they got the tumor without removing the bone, and so he didn't have to have that second part of the procedure. But when he came out, he and I talked, and he said, you know, to be honest, I was not spiritually prepared for that experience. He said, as I went into the hospital that day, I was gripped with fear. Fear to the point of doubting my faith. Fear to the point of doubting trust in God. Fear of death. Fear of family, what was going to be left behind. And he was shaken because he said he was not spiritually prepared to face the hurricane of that surgery. And what I hope we can accomplish this summer is that we can be spiritually prepared for whatever future hurricanes arrive. Because I don't know about you, what we've been through over the last couple of years has perhaps shaken our lives or revealed some cracks in our foundation that we didn't expect to see. And let's be spiritually prepared for what might come in the future. The other thing that I've noticed is this. If my spiritual life is enmeshed into someone else, then when that person is taken away, do I flounder? Because my spiritual foundation was not my own. Remember, Jesus used the word everyone. That all of us individually have to have a strong, rock-solid foundation. Because if a student has their spiritual life enmeshed in the family, then when that student goes out of the house to live, they have a very weak personal foundation because it's always been enmeshed in the family's foundation. And so they struggle in their faith when they go off to college or they move out because their foundation has not been their own. Let me encourage you. If you're a young person, you need to not only have the faith of your family, but it's got to be your own. God has to become your God. Not just the God of the youth group, not just the God of your family. He has to become your God. And if you have children or grandchildren, I think the greatest way to make that transition in their life is to get them into a position where God uses them in his work some way. And when a young person sees the God of the universe can use me to do something for him, God becomes my God. And you do that through a missions trip. You do that through an exercise where your child has a safe way to explore being used by God apart from you. But if a student leaves the home and their faith is enmeshed in their family faith, they do not have their own foundation. The second thing that I notice is that sometimes a husband or a wife's faith is enmeshed with the spouse's faith. And when one of the spouses passes away, the other spouse flounders because their spiritual foundation was not their own. They were being led spiritually by the other spouse, and their faith practice was enmeshed in their partner's faith practice. And when God took that partner home, that widow or that widower now flounders because their faith foundation was never their own. And it's interesting to watch a widow or a widower respond to the death of their spouse. Do they still stand strong and walk in their faith because their foundation has been their own? Oh, it's been with their spouse, but it hasn't been enmeshed or dependent upon their spouse. Does that make sense? That's why Jesus says here, every single one has to have our own foundation. But you know, everybody gets cracks in their foundation. That's not a problem. Let's repair them. So let's wrap up with two questions. Number one, have you submitted to Jesus' truth as the right foundation? Because in a culture in which we live today, the message that is coming to us loud and clear and strong and repeatedly from our culture is the foundation of our life should be who? Self. I am the foundation of my life. I get to define who I am. I get to define what I am. I get to define how I do life. And I want to tell you, it doesn't work. All you have to ask yourself is, are people thriving more today as human beings because self has been made the foundation, or are they thriving less? And if you look out in our culture, on the average, people are thriving what? Less. There's far more conflict. There's far more disarray. Making self the foundation is not hearing the words of Jesus and doing them. So I have to ask myself a serious question. Is the words of Jesus above me, where it gets to train what I think? I submit my personal opinions to its truth. And if its truth is different than my personal opinions, I give way to my personal opinions and I hold on to the truth of the Bible? Or is the Bible below me and I get to instill over it my personal opinions and thoughts? And I hope I can find verses that match my personal opinions and thoughts. If so, I'm the foundation of my life. This isn't the foundation of my life. But boy, when the hurricane hits, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to submit my own human will to the truths of the scriptures. That's hard to do. That's the test. Am I going to do that? Have I submitted to Jesus' truth as the right foundation? If I have any other foundation in my life than the person and truths of Jesus Christ, my foundation is in jeopardy. Because sooner or later, a storm will come, a hurricane will hit, and I will find that my foundation is lacking because it's in something else other than Jesus and his word. And I got to tell you, man, these last couple of years, I have discovered some cracks in my foundation where I was putting self there, not Jesus. And it hasn't been pretty. And I've had to try to submit my will to the truth of Jesus and his word. Finally, are you practicing? Am I practicing the foundational truths that weather life's hurricanes? Again, I love the Lord so much because one of the reasons is because he has given us the foundational truths to help us weather hurricanes. He didn't leave us here to figure it out on our own. He's a good and gracious God. Look how many pages of morals, truths, and principles he's left behind, so that we really can have a solid foundation in our life. The problem isn't that I don't know them. The problem is, am I practicing them? That's the difference between the rock and the sand. So I want to take this summer, and I want us to maybe spend some time assessing our foundation. I want us to be spiritually healthy people. And I'd love for us to be prepared for life's hurricanes. And so I just want to spend some time this summer looking and maybe reminding ourselves, re-examining some of the foundational truths from God's word that Jesus taught us. And let's look at the foundation of relationships. Let's look at the foundation of finances. Let's look at the foundation of attitudes. Let's look at the foundation of business and culture. And let's try to just take some time and assess our foundation. I think we're coming out of a couple difficult years. And God's going to want to use us in some mighty ways. So let's spend this summer assessing our foundations. And I need your help. I need your help this summer. And this is what I mean. I don't want to study foundational aspects without your input. So what we've done here is I want us to answer this summer the how, why, what, and why questions of life. How do I raise those crazy kids? Why don't I have them anyway, right? What does the Bible say about this? And why is this happening? And so what we've done is we've set up a text message system here where you can ask questions. And then I want to take the list of questions that come in and I want to put them into categories, and I want our summer to be spent on the categories that reflect the questions that you're asking. And here's how you do it, very simply. Get your phone out, go to your text messaging, and where you put the phone number in, just type in the number 97,000. And in the message part of your text, just type in AG Ask, Auburn Grace Ask. And when you send that text, you'll get a reply back. And the reply would say, hey, what's your question for this summer? And you just type in your question and you send it in. And it will come on a big spreadsheet. And I can look at all those questions and kind of put them into categories. And then I can talk about foundational aspects that relate to where you really are in life. So I want to do that this summer. I want us to be able to talk about that. So you're going to be available, and this is going to be on the app and on the website if you don't want to do it right now. But I want you to think about maybe some aspects of your faith that have been challenged. Some aspects of the foundation of your life that, like me, you've seen some cracks. And you'd like to talk about how to shore up from God's word that particular area of our foundation. So I need your input. I'd love to hear from you. Let's try and answer the how, what, and why questions this summer. And we're going to take all of June and all of July and all of August, and we're just going to go through this series rock solid, because I hope that we come out at the end having stronger foundations to face the storms of life. Amen? I'd like to do something different as we close today. As we give way to this series, it all starts by having a willingness in ourselves to say, God, whatever you're going to show me, I'm going to put into practice. And that's hard for us to do as human beings. So today is Bread and Cup Sunday, when we remember the Lord's death every 6 or 8 weeks or so. And I asked for it to be moved from the beginning of the service to the end, so that we can kind of launch into this summer saying, okay, Lord, whatever you show me, I'm going to dedicate this summer to learning and putting into practice. And so as we end our service today, we're going to pass out the elements, and we're just going to thank the Lord for what he's doing in our life, his death, burial, and resurrection. And in a way, say, Lord, I am surrendering to whatever you want to show me in the foundation of my life, and I'm willing to submit my opinions and thoughts to your truths, and give me the strength to put them into practice. So let me pray. Lord, thank you for this summer. Thank you for this powerful parable that shows us that we may not need to learn more. But Lord, maybe what we need is to practice them more fully. Maybe there are things that we need to assess in our relationships, in our homes, in our businesses, in our culture. And Lord, as we learn these truths, or as we're reminded of these foundational truths, may you show us how to put them into practice. But we all know that surrendering our lives to new things is hard, because our humanness is so strong. So Lord, as we take a minute to remember your death, thank you for dying on the cross for us. And because of that grace, we not only surrender to you, but we receive the power to change and to implement the things that you're going to show us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And I will build my life upon your love. It is the firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone. And I will not be shaken.
That's all, Steve.
Let's start with the bread. As we take this bread as a symbol of Jesus' body that was given for us, let's repeat these words together. Jesus, I now receive this bread as a symbol of your body, which was given for me. I do this in remembrance of you. And as we take the juice as a symbol of the blood that was given for our forgiveness, let's repeat these words together. Jesus, I now receive this drink as a symbol of your blood, which was poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us your body and your blood. It testified to who you were, which means we can trust you all the more. Thank you for the grace and forgiveness that it brings to our life and the fresh start new every day. Your word tells us that your mercy is new every morning. Your loving kindness is fresh every time the sun comes up. So, Lord, as we look at our foundations this summer, may you patch them, repair them, rebuild them, so that we can live a life that gives you the glory and can handle the storms and hurricanes of life. Show us how to do this, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, before you go, let's sing this song one more time.